Mr. Hogan, we're about to go and see The Last Jedi. I'm very excited about this, and you?
Oh, so am I, and I've got a prediction. I think someone dies.
I think many stormtroopers
are going. Yeah, no, I think there's another main character to go.
Do you think Poe's going to go?
No, well, obviously Princess Leia goes.
Oh, no!
Well, that's actually the second question. They didn't know she was going to die, so they can't have written her out while they were making the movie.
Let us actually introduce ourselves and our two new Star Wars co-stars. I'm Joel Reinberger, host of Nerdzilla, and my favourite Star Wars thing is that I spotted an error in Star Wars, it must be 25 years ago, that people didn't know about before, and won a year's worth of video hire on Hey Hey It's Saturday by sending it in.
That I shake your hand. That's magnificent.
Andrew?
When I was a kid, my favourite action figure was IG-88, the android bounty hunter who had no lines in Empire Strikes Back. I was obsessed with this action figure. Every other kid thought, Hogan, you're lame. They were right.
Hi, I'm Sarah Mashman. My older brother is more obsessed with Star Wars than me, so I used to steal his books. But when I went to Philadelphia in 2008, I tracked down an amazing vintage Star Wars A New Hope T-shirt, which I gave him for Christmas, reluctantly. And a couple of years later, I found it again in his wardrobe, balled up in a corner, and I decided he just didn't appreciate it like I did. So I took it back. So
what's your brother's name?
Zachary Mashman. He dresses up as a stormtrooper. He's part of the 501st. He also dresses up as a Wookiee. So I guess my T-shirt just didn't
It's not out there enough.
It really isn't.
That's given me a fantastic idea. Remember a few years ago I gave you a Millennium Falcon bottle opener?
Yeah, it's still on my fridge.
Could I have it back?
No, it gets used all the time.
Damn, the Mashman principle.
The trick is you steal it without them noticing. You
so
take it back.
Next time you're around, yes. I'm Linda Hunt. I'll go with my obsession with Princess Leia for many years. So I was 7 when the first film came out, A New Hope.
As all good people were.
True fans. So my obsession was taken to the point that for my school photos, I had my hair done up in the Princess Leia loops, which I've done tonight as well.
The donuts.
Yeah. Although my hair's not quite as long tonight, so it doesn't quite have the same effect, but it's all Princess Leia number one, always will be.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go and see The Last Jedi.
Has always been there.
I've seen this raw strength only once before. It didn't scare me enough then. It does now. Fulfill your destiny.
The First Order is hunting down the rebellion, and I thought after losing a whole planet full of people, the First Order might have a bit of a hole in it. Apparently not. Apparently there's still billions of them hunting down a very small rebel alliance. Well, there's just a few rebels left, really. So they're hunting them down. And then Rey is, meantime, trying to talk to Luke to convince him to join in the fight. That's as much of the plot as we really want to give away without spoiling anything.
Pretty much.
At this point.
It's an action-packed movie. A lot goes on. It's better than I thought it would be. It far exceeds my expectations. I need to go back in there and watch it again immediately.
Sarah, first impressions?
I completely agree. I'm coming back on Christmas Eve with my mum. But
are you going to convince her to wear a Stormtrooper helmet again?
Yes, for Christmas, yeah. So on Christmas, I usually get my family into assorted shirts. And my brother has a number of Star Wars helmets. He's got the old school.
Plenty to go around the family.
He's got no T-shirt, though, because his sister keeps pinching him.
But anyway, first impressions of this movie?
Of this movie, I loved the humour. There was so much humour, and it really reminded me of A New Hope.
Daggy.
Yeah, so daggy, but also kind of building the character.
Beautifully
done. No Jar Jar Binks humour.
Look, that was very un-Star Wars-y in tone because J.J. Abrams, the last film was his job application, basically proving I won't screw this up. This was very Rian Johnson. Now, he directed Looper and a ton of episodes of Breaking Bad.
So, and it had his stamp all over it. I love the fact that it felt different. It was, you know, you couldn't call it gritty, but it borrowed from a lot of very, very gritty films, gritty, dirty sci-fi. It was long, and it, and it needed to be, and it explored some pretty ugly sort of stuff, which was really cool. And nobody acted the way you predicted they were going to act.
It had the tone of a Marvel film. It almost exact that level of kind of humour and heroics and violence as most of the last few Marvel films did.
And not quite fully understanding the motives of each character, being kept on your toes and sometimes fooled or reacting in unexpected ways.
They're complicated. Brilliant. There's actually complication.
Yeah. Domhnall Gleeson's Hux, just chew scenery, man. Just go OTT. He was basically Space Nazi of death, and I loved him.
Fabulous. Great character.
He also...
He had that kind of off-centre, asymmetrical part, and that's always a sign of evil, isn't it?
Correct, correct. What I thought, though, was taken to the next level was Adam Driver's complete lack of humanity. Kylo is just... You knew he was lost.
I disagree. There were sparks of humanity there.
Well, maybe he was more, it was a more deep and it was a much better performance because in Force Awakens he didn't have to do a lot apart from have dead eyes.
And have the helmet on. And look, I find this very interesting because his performance in Number 7 copped a lot of flack, you know, the whole emo... Kylo.
I loved him. Yeah, I loved him in Number 7.
But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I didn't find that. I loved his darkness and his confusion and his kind of almost teenage angst.
He's a big kid throwing tantrums.
Yeah, kid throwing tantrums. And I thought he did it beautifully. I didn't think there was any overacting. And I think you're right. This next episode, he's kind of gone even deeper. He's more
developed.
Lost.
Yeah, so you still get the tantrums, but there's more. And what I really love is you get answers. So a lot of those questions people have, you get the answers you've been wanting, except for one.
We didn't get one answer. There was one answer we didn't get is how does Oscar Isaac always have utterly perfect hair and a perfect face? He goes into battle and things blow up that are planetary in size and his hair is perfection.
But, I mean, that's the style, though. Come on, that's the style. When you have hair like that, you could, you know, step off off the track after having run 5,000 metres or anything. You can do anything and still look immaculate.
It's so unfair.
It's an intergalactic perm, essentially. So as long as you don't shower after you've had it styled, that's it. You're good for 6 months.
You don't need to style it. That's the point. He came out of his mother's womb looking like that with that head of hair.
I utterly believe that about Oscar Isaac.
Oh, yeah.
Utterly. There was twists within twists, some that were tangentially to do with the plot and some weren't. Like Laura Dern, the Rebel Commander, who had an incredibly small amount of screen time, had an amazing character arc.
She, very effective.
Because they took you from thinking something about her to thinking something else about her and then for her to flip it completely and it to be the opposite. And that's the most obscure thing I've
Laura
ever said.
Laura Dern. We love Laura Dern.
And may I nominate Mark Hamill for an Oscar right now? I thought he was absolutely fan-freaking-tastic.
His acting was way better than in the original three. I mean, really. I mean, if we're honest, his acting... back in the original series was perhaps not the best.
I thought he hit the right tone of teenage boy, lost his parents, a bit lost in the world. Just doesn't want to be there anymore.
I'll tell you one thing. He seriously got over his auntie and uncle getting fried.
Very
like
quickly.
2 seconds into the film, he's off that planet, sold his speeder, found an old man, and he's gone with a walking carpet and a criminal.
He was found a force daddy.
He was a very neglected child, obviously. I think you've got that 30 years of voiceover acting and whatnot. Yeah. He really honed his craft, and you're right. His Academy Award winning performance.
Uncle Owen who? Can we jump straight into there were a fair few celebrity stormtroopers. Tom Hardy was one.
I had heard that. So you're looking for a very short stormtrooper then.
Who talks like this? Wouldn't you sound like that in a stormtrooper helmet anywhere?
Maybe that's a Bane. Wouldn't it be awesome if a stormtrooper talked like Bane? How funny would that be?
That's General Hux, I expect you to die.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt did a voice of an alien who we don't know who it was.
Which alien was it?
Slow and Low. And do you think Benicio Del Toro just basically gets a role and goes, which funny voice you want me to use this time? I have many funny voices. It's like, because that was funny.
I loved him. I loved him. He was just slinking through the scenery and just believable and beautiful and silly and Hollywood, really Hollywood.
But there was also one thing about his character that they used him to make a point. He said, you don't have to pick a side, you know. Rebellion, Empire, who made that rule? Because in Star Wars, we're so used to people, your team E or team R, you know, but you don't have to be. He's just out for himself.
Perhaps the film was having... I'm being facetious, but saying something about arms dealers and, you know, they're just basically selling to ISIS and the US. Was it having a greater political comment? Come on now.
Well, they actually established the fact is, where do they get all those wonderful toys?
All from the same blokes.
Yeah.
I love the amount of detail that went into this. Simple things like on Luke's island, just as a background shot while something else was going on, there's a giant sea creature diving through the sea. And the source of Luke's nutrients, his food, on the island.
Oh, and how he captures it. Some beautiful athleticism there from old Lukey.
All I could think of was, dude, fishing, you're doing it wrong.
Uh-huh. And it was... points to one of the things that I found spectacular about this film was how visually beautiful it was. Yeah. There were stunning worlds. Towards the end, without giving anything away, but there is a particular planet with the salt, and as people tread on it or anything touches it, it turns red. And then you can imagine that in the battle with stuff going everywhere and the white and the red. It was stunningly beautiful.
Scientifically implausible, but that's quite okay. That wasn't the least plausible part of the film, by the way.
Where is a planet with a giant planet-destroying... blazer in the middle of it is perfectly fine.
This is kind of like Rogue One in a way, in that it was done on a more human scale. Mm. It wasn't so much about the planet killers, the giant leaps. Mm. It was more about a small group of people doing a small important thing. And I think that's good for our connection to the people.
That was the thing that I loved about Rogue One, was it brought it down to individuals and their battles, and I don't know, I just felt very connected.
Yeah. I have watched Rogue One more than I've watched The Force Awakens, and I've got a son who's obsessed with Star Wars, and you'd think he wouldn't like that film. He loves that film, but then he's fairly bloodthirsty. He likes people dying a lot.
Are you raising a young Kylo Ren?
I'm pretty sure I've got the Kylo Ren at home because, you know, it's a 16-year-old. His tantrums, you know, they match Kylo Ren's. Where? Absolutely.
I've just realised Clark loves hanging out with his uncle too.
Oh, no.
Uncle's cool. Now, can we have a moment to just remember the true star of Star Wars, Tim Rose, Admiral Ackbar?
I know!
He played Ackbar all the way back. They could have got someone else to do it, but they went, no, we're going to get Tim.
But isn't that the beautiful thing about Star Wars is they do bring back these legacy characters, as in the actors who played them for as long as possible. Yeah, like Peter
Daniel
Mayhew
Andrews
played Chewbacca for as long as possible.
C-3PO.
I did quite like about this that there was less fan service. The Force Awakens was a ton of fan service. It was a ton of Chewie being cute.
It was
nice in a way because we're fans.
Yes. But I agree.
This was just a war story.
It's a great film. It was a great film.
It does have enough callbacks, I thought. Yeah. We get a flash of Leia from A New Hope in a really unexpected way, which is kind of very touching. I felt there were enough callbacks to make me be like, yes, that's back.
I mean, just the fact that they've got all those characters provides enough fan service without having to give them moment after moment after moment of very specific, oh, look at this, it's Star Wars. Look, this one, they didn't try that. They just made the story move.
Remember, there was a couple of moments where you thought someone's going to say a classic quote and they didn't. I was sure that Poe was going to say to 3PO, don't quote me the odds. And he didn't do it. He just moved on.
Yeah.
I kept wondering, why do I know Kelly Marie Tran, the character?
She
was on that Gautama show that's on ABC Me that my kids love. Gautama Givens in Adventures.
Sorry.
No.
That's where I know her from. Yeah. Gautama Givens, Life on Normal Street. Yeah, it's all on ABC Me
lovely
in the afternoons.
Lovely character. Yeah. Really lovely character. Mm. Spunky. And again, unexpected. It's not the story arc that I expected for that character at all.
This is a big movie. There's a lot of moving parts to it, and they managed to keep it rockin' the entire time.
But not a moment of sitting back going, okay, well, what's going to happen next? It just kept rolling. After the big moment, which we can't utter in this part of the program, I thought, wow, okay, well, it's going to wrap up pretty shortly. No, it kept going. And then there was more.
And then there was a bigger climax and another one.
And then another one. Oh, magnificent, really. Money's worth, for sure.
I just also wanted to say one of the things I really loved was the physicality of the creatures, the new creatures we got to see. Like, they felt real. And again, I have to compare it to Phantom Menace, where, you know, it was just CGI galore. This was people in costumes, and I loved it.
Cute animals.
Well, my exception to that is the porgs. Ooh. They just did not really work for me.
Well, they worked for me because they're virtually penguins and I'm obsessed with penguins. So
because
spot on.
So much of the rest of it, they try and make the creature look like it could be a real creature. They clearly wouldn't be able to fly. They actually didn't work well as a piece of CGI.
A bit too Ewok for you?
What? No, it wasn't the overly cute. I actually just thought they were ineffectively realistic. I didn't think they looked realistic at all virtually the whole time.
I get what you're saying. There was a moment with the porgs where I was like, again, really? Oh, really? But, you know, it's for the kids, right? A bit like the Ewoks are supposedly for kids, but they're not.
Yeah, no, I was fine. I was fine with them. I love them.
I don't think by the time I was about 10 minutes into that, I didn't care for realism, to be quite honest. I'm like, yeah, I don't need this to be real.
That's a very good point.
I think I weaned myself a little bit. It was so exciting.
Before we get on to our spoiler-laden discussion, let's just summarise. I'm going to say 5-star movie. Fantastic. I'm going to see it again. There is no greater compliment. I want to go and see it again in the next couple of days.
5 excellent Ewoks. So, I'll be going again and again. We saw it in 3D this time. Can't wait to see it in 2D.
I thought the 3D worked very well. I didn't have a moment where I was dropped out of 3D. Linda, your summary?
Oh, absolutely 5 stars. And on that 3D aspect, I was a little bit worried to begin with. It takes maybe a couple of minutes to get used to it, but then you're not aware. And it's fabulous. You're right. There's some of those ships coming over you and the blasts and the hands. And,
my only worry with the 3D was the 15 minutes it took to buy the glasses for us at the service at the front. I've never seen such slow service. No.
That was quite strange. This is where I just regret knowing too much about vision and eyes, because I just sit there analysing the 3D. And what they did in this film is what they do in good films, is they dialed it back to when it was necessary.
Yes.
There were some scenes where it was just two people talking, where it was a two-shot close-up, and there was almost no depth in those because it wasn't necessary. But some films try to do that and it throws you out of it so badly. Look, I give that 5 porgs, absolutely. That added to my Star Wars headcanon in such a perfect way. Plus, it was a different type of film, a film that I really, really, you know, I was hoping they'd do something like this.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Parentage is obviously a very big issue in this film. So do we believe that Rey's parents were just nobodies, garbage people,
probably better than if they were Skywalkers, because that family is a bunch of psycho losers.
Yes, yes.
My presumption was, because Rey and Kylo had that connection, that she's a byblow of hands.
Well, yes, there is that. But then that was Snoke who was giving them that major connection.
No, he's Lila pants on fire.
Oh, Lila pants. And he said, yo, you're not a Skywalker, which I didn't...
Maybe she's a Solo.
I don't believe it. No, look, I still think she's a Solo. I personally think she's the little sister of Kylo Ren, who was dropped off by Leia and Han for whatever reason. I just don't buy that her parents were scum or whatever Kylo said. And the other thing is, keep in mind, but right at the end, she's getting into Millennium Falcon and they have a moment again, and that is when Snoke is no longer creating that connection.
No, that's right. But she's getting stronger and stronger, so maybe her powers are getting to that point where they are connecting more. I don't know. I'm not convinced that they are siblings. I want them to be.
Who's missing from all of this? Kenobi.
What was Kenobi getting up to?
Or grandchild.
He's living in a cave on a desert planet. He's got a lot of time on his hands. Okay,
it's a wonder she didn't come out half sheep.
Entertaining the ladies is what he does.
Come back to my cave. Look at my etchings.
Yes.
I did like the way that Snoke was dressed basically as Hugh Hefner.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He was.
He was also a lot more sassy than I sort of thought he would be. Like he was a bit poke the bear and a bit sass and a bit like he was total arsehat, really.
So again, Snoke, who was he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was he? We didn't really get that answer, did we?
He's now two people now.
I saw a hand by itself.
Was there a hand? Oh, thank God, because I was about to go rage mad about that. No one's got their hand cut off in the new trilogy yet, and I'm getting upset about it.
There was a hand still on the chair, legs still kind of sitting around, and the rest, top of the torso, head on the ground.
It still needs to be made clearer, okay? Someone has to get their legit hand chopped off.
Just because you don't notice it doesn't mean it doesn't happen, Hoax. Like, we have a...
In 19 ship explosions, I'm sure some hands left some bodies.
Yeah. No. But major character, because it happened in 5, it happened in 2.
Yeah.
It should have happened in 8.
Anakin Skywalker's got a hand cut off 3 times if you count the entire movie. I mean, twice is bad, 3 is careless. That's just really careless.
Yeah.
Now, can someone explain to me the significance and where they appeared before of the space fluffy dice?
Yeah, I don't know.
The magic golden dice that are hanging in the Millennium Falcon, and apparently they're very meaningful. I'm like, well, it's kind of a joke about fluffy dice in the front of a car, but otherwise I don't know what they are or who they're from, and I don't know how they disappeared at the end. Are they made of the Force?
No, because they weren't really there. Luke... Snap!
Yeah!
Luke bought them. Luke bought them with him. Anything he bought wasn't really there. He was force protecting. Are we Jedis?
Yeah!
Cool, that means I get the powers and you don't.
Oh, no, not true. Leia's got hella powers in this one.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Wasn't that brilliant where Leia...
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't brilliant. It made me rage mad again.
Why did it make you rage mad?
You can't just... hang around in space. I don't care what force powers you've got.
Oh,
she was floating for ages.
No, that was not that on. Was I didn't like
and when
it.
When she opened her eyes, I'm like, there goes your corneas. Bang. Yes, exploded.
That's exactly what
I was. No. She can provide a little air shield around herself with the force.
Well, because I can tell you, right, the pressure inside your eyeball, okay, that's going to be...
If you've got the force... You can stop that stuff going on.
You're all wrong, because she's one of the sleeping angels from Doctor Who. That moment when she's flying and her dress is around her, and I was just like, "Oh, yeah, okay, I can see this."
I just thought Rian Johnson just dropped some acid at that point and went, "I had a dream last night, and guess what happened in it?"
I actually thought at that moment that was their way of addressing her death, that they changed it.
Yeah.
I had that moment. I was ready to actually sob in the cinema. I thought, dead set, she is dead. That's it. Leia's gone.
But it wasn't dramatic enough. And that's when I went, oh, no.
It wasn't dramatic enough.
What are you, crazy?
She threw space.
And her son is there. Can I kill her? Can I not? And maybe, someone else does it first.
You know what? I need to watch it again because maybe it's the music. I don't quite know. But something about it, I just went, nah, she's not dead. It's too soon. It hasn't happened yet.
Way more gullible than you.
Can I just quickly address the dice? Apparently it showed up for one scene in A New Hope, which means that tonight or tomorrow I'm going to be watching A New Hope and spotting it. And then they disappeared. They're in one scene only on the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
George Lucas's classic attention to detail. Yeah. Honestly. We don't know who Snoke was and now he's carked it. That's sort of got to be explored.
But... is he completely gone or is there...
No, he's dead. He's dead.
They brought back Darth Maul in Star Wars Rebels. He's got mechanical legs.
But he dropped away kind of into nothingness. Like, you know, you didn't see him actually lying there dead. You saw Snoke lying there pretty much with his tongue out and flies buzzing around his head.
I expected his eyes to open and for him to get back up and say, trick ya!
Yeah, look what I can do. Bam, transform her back together, like sort of Lego style.
I'm a plasticine creature.
I actually loved the attack at the end, how you could see the Imperial officers going... Who's in charge? Which one of them? Yeah. Which one do we obey? That was really quite funny.
One of them's a child, but he's a child who can kill everyone.
He can kill me just by thinking me, and the other one's a space Nazi.
I've just had a moment. The whole battle at the end between Luke and Kylo, and there was a lot of concentration on their feet. And I thought it was because Luke was going, you know, I'm so force worthy. I'm looking at your feet and your movement. But now, after the killer reveal, I realised now it was showing that there was no red ice.
Luke
salt.
Real.
He wasn't real.
Yeah. I actually picked...
I didn't pick that up.
I picked when Luke appeared in the cavern at the end. He looks younger.
Yes, he was. He was brown.
He was brown.
And I just thought, okay.
Oh, he cut his hair.
You know, he's kind of gone, hey, I'm Sasser Luke. I'm back here to, you know, kick some butt.
I cut my hair and got a little bit of dye job while I was there.
Yeah, I know.
On the way to a massive battle, I stopped into the barber.
But that's why it was great, because we knew he was going to come back. And so I was expecting him to turn up. I noticed that he'd had a shave and he was looking younger and more vital, but I thought that was part of the
character arc. What else do you do in hyperspace? Yeah. As well, like, you're hanging there. Like,
you put in your curlers.
And he could have been there because there is that shot of the X-Wing in the water, and if we think back...
Well, that's right.
Yeah, he could have pulled that up.
Off he goes. So I thought that was very well done. It fooled me, but as we've already established, I am quite gullible.
Have we seen that force power before? I don't think we have.
No, but it's
within the realms of a force power.
Force astral projection. That's out there.
You don't feel like they've pulled a complete magic trick out of a hat.
No. I was very happy with it. I think it, as you say, is within the realms of what we know about the force.
I'm not actually sure I understand, as a tactical technique, Luke force projects himself all the way across the galaxy and used to avoid getting killed and then dies.
Would he have made it in time? Bring his ship up, dry it out. He doesn't have an R2-D2 to stuff into it.
He did, of course, die just like Obi-Wan dies in episode 4, which is really good. He just sort of disappeared into nothing.
And
he's coped
with the midichlorians.
Don't say those. We don't.
he goes at peace. This is one of the things I liked about this film, is it treated it as a mystical zenness as opposed to something measurable by science.
Okay, so the whole Zen thing with the Rose character and her sister with the sickle shaped thing. Now that is to do with the Rogue One bloke, isn't it?
The blind monk. That's what I thought too. Yep.
The only other sort of spoilery thing that I thought was a bit disconcerting was I thought that Force Ghost Yoda was a bit too solid. Like, he was touching stuff and doing things, and I'm like, that's not Force Ghost, dude. That's like, you know, and then I really worried that we'd get Force Ghost Anakin, and I'm like, that would have just, I would have walked out. You're getting your buddy Hayden Christensen in there.
Going to say, well, which one are you going to get? I mean, I'm never comfortable with the fact that when they rejig the original trilogy that they put Hayden Christensen in. It's like, well, no, he died as an older person.
Everyone else comes back as how they were when they died.
It's wrong.
But I always imagined that, you know, so Obi-Wan turns towards him and goes, hang on, you can come back young? No one told me that. He just turned into Ewan McGregor just straight away. That would have been really cool.
Seriously.
Yeah, like Alec Guinness just morphs into Ewan. This is much better.
We kind of skimmed over just then the fact that Luke dies, and I personally am really disappointed with Luke's character dying. I know he can also come back as a Force Ghost and also perhaps be solid and make things happen.
And will.
But now that we've lost Carrie Fisher, we don't have a Harrison Ford unless somehow he's back as well.
That bloke had no force going on there.
As a Millennium Falcon ghost, he could come back as.
Yeah. I thought this had the first proper shield effects of any Star Wars film.
Absolutely.
It's always been just glancing off the ship. This one actually looked like it was glancing off a shield.
I liked it. I was very impressed with those.
It also made mention of cloaking devices. Because during Empire Strikes Back, when Han realises he can't jump to light speed and he lands on the side of the Star Destroyer, one of the commanders in the Star Destroyer says, I don't understand where he went. A ship that size can't have a cloaking device. They were then never mentioned ever again in Star Wars, ever. And I felt like going, dude, you've got the biggest ship I've ever seen. Why don't you have a cloaking device? And finally, we've got ships which have cloaking devices, which didn't work very well.
No.
Look, hang on, we've got a cloaking screen up. Oh, well, great. Well, now we can see them. So well done, Admiral Laura Dern. You're really clever, you are.
Yeah. Now, that moment where Admiral Laura Dern turns around and light speeds at the fleet is just fantastic. The fact that they did that whole impact in silence to demonstrate it was incredibly effective.
Yeah, I like that. I've always wondered why light speed hyperspace in Star Wars is so poorly explored in terms of a technology, apart from getting from A to B.
If you just have an engine with a tiny half brain that can go to light speed and aim it at another ship, why wouldn't you use that for missile?
The energy needed to go into light space.
It fits in an X-Wing.
The other thing is a bit strange, is it like all these ships need someone to fly them. Like, or someone's got to always stay behind, don't they? You know, why does someone always have to stay behind?
It's like, well, it's true in Star Trek as well, though. I think it's fairly universal across the universes.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, The Dark Knight Rises, the autopilot. It's okay, it was fixed. We're back to Bane again, are we? Yeah.
I have one more thing I'd like to add, Andrew, which is that I wrote a song.
Oh, no, you didn't. The last time you did this, it went badly for us.
Wait, were you going composing a song while we were sitting in the cinema? Is this what you've done?
Yeah, I heard a lot of scribbling going on and like humming to himself. It's like, shut up, Joel.
Can I write a song called Joel Don't Write a Song?
we can
you want to sing backing on that?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Let's hear it.
Joel Don't Write a Song.
That's all I got. Don't write a song.
No songs.
Because
no
it'll be shit and no one will like it.
All right, what's your song? What's your song? I feel bad.
Well,
now.
Look, it kind of became obvious when you have Poe and Ray meeting at the end of it.
Yeah. Which I'd forgotten they hadn't
met.
I
went, Poe and Ray. And I went, Poe, a pilot, a rebel pilot, Ray, a Jedi on the run, Finn, a name he gave himself, Luke has become a grumpy bum. That's the only verse I have so far.
That may be enough for the universe.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah, that'll do, Joel. That'll do. Yeah.
Was that in the realm of that'll do, pig? That'll do.
It was. Correct. Correct.
That'll do.
You got the reference. Well done. Well done.
Being called a pig on my own podcast by a guest.
Can we just give special props to the callback of rocks, of floating rocks? And Ray mentions it, and then the irony where she has to just do it.
This is like Poe got there and was like, oh, great, the hull's too small. Yeah. They're rocks, dude.
Here's the thing, not a George Lucas script. Just so not a George Lucas script. Uh-huh. So a script of an amazing filmmaker.
Great dialogue. Yeah. Oh. You can't just rely on fabulous visuals and...
Money. No, money in the end.
You need to love the characters and you need for them to have convincing dialogue. You need to go on a journey with them.
This had humour and risk in the first minute.
So funny. It was really funny. The four of us laughing, and actually all the audience really laughed at some. And it can be quite hammy, but good.
Well, that means good. Star Wars doesn't try to be highbrow science fiction.
No.
It tries to be the Western in space.
Yeah.
And this film succeeded in that so much because you could tell Rian Johnson understood his material and he had actors willing to go with it.
So one thing that I would like to bring up is how sad I felt that this will be the last Star Wars film that we see Carrie Fisher in. As I've mentioned earlier, she was everything to me as a young'un when Star Wars first came out. And there was the inscription at the end of the film dedicated to her in loving memory of our Princess Carrie Fisher. And when I saw that, I did choke up a little bit. I did have a bit of a tear.
Leia's alive at the end of this film. So that's a little bit problematic because she's not going to be alive in the next film. But that's sort of a disappointing end for Leia. You know, she's not going
to... I think they will have to use CGI to bring her back and finish
no,
it.
No, they've said they're not going to. They've said that's not going to happen.
Okay. So, a double. You know, see, I don't know. How are we going to do it?
See the back of Princess Leia and she gets blown up.
You're right. Yeah,
she's
that's right.
Not going to be there and they're going to say that, oh, Leia's just... What,
maybe they're going to change their mind. I'm like, it's 2 years away.
I really hope they don't. I think... You move forward. They're in the middle of a war. It's not that hard to kill someone off.
Maybe she's not dead. Maybe she's just popped in the shops for a bit. Like, and so she can't be in the next film because she went to Bunnings. And
Princess Leia's just chilling out on a planet somewhere.
She's
like,
decided,
Luke, like
Luke.
She decides she really misses Luke and she goes to where Luke was and just hangs there.
Well, actually, there's one more thing, scene I wanted to bring up, which I thought was really clever, which is the scene where Rey goes down into the dark force part of the island, and what she faces there is purely a reflection of herself, because that is what the dark side of the force is about. Is about selfishness. It's only you. Whereas the light side of the force is about being aware of what's around you and the other people around you. The dark side of the force is just you. Is just selfishness. And I thought, what a beautiful mise-en-scène to explain what that's all about.
You're talking crazy talk now.
I know.
But she certainly had a
wow.
She certainly had a good hard look at herself, though. Yeah. A lot of herself.
Yeah. Is it selfish to want to know who your parents are. Like, really, is it?
No,
like,
it's not. Like, oh, it's not. Come on. It's not. But it is going back to that whole thing that Kylo was going on about, is let go of the past, move on. And that she does have to do that. I agree with that. Hmm. Maybe not to the same extent that he has, but...
You can't go all Bruce Wayne on it and just, you know, dress up as a bat and punch people for the rest of your life. You know, she's got to move on. If Bruce had moved on, would have been a lot happier.
Yes. His parents were. Come on, guys.
Yeah, he had a grave to go to. It was really wonderful. Yeah. Great fun childhood. But mind you, exactly. Billionaire and butler kind of made it all. Yeah. Okay, yeah.